Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. So, I think today people have been having a day of mindfulness here, some of you. And this evening I'm going to give a talk on right view. And this is the first factor in the Noble Eightfold Path. As we understand that all the path factors are supportive of one another, but the teaching which has really inspired this talk in the Majjhima Nikaya. It's called the Great 40, and it's Majjhima Nikaya 117. And Shariputta gives a teaching, and he repeatedly says, right view comes first. So if our view is not correct according to the Buddha's teaching, then our whole path can go off. So this is how important right view is. Sammaditti is the Pali, and it's usually translated as right understanding and right view. I think both of these translations are really useful. I like right view because well, the Pali ditti comes from ditta, which is a past participle of to see, having seen. So having seen, I like to think about having seen things clearly with wisdom, having seen things as they really are, then we have right view. So there's a active element to it. It's not just a passive thing that someone will give us an instruction and we just accept it. You know, just because Ajahn Punadamo says so, or you've read something in a book or something like that. It's not just because of that. It's because of our understanding, of our being able to see things clearly for ourselves. So this view, the right view, comes from that. But we're fortunate to have the lens of the Buddha's teaching to see, to help us see right view. So to get established in the path, we have to have some basic, I guess in the Abhidhamma says that you would memorize the teachings, and then you investigate, and then you have an understanding, you have the right view based on the teachings. Somewhere in the commentaries it talks about that. So there's like different phases of right view. In the there's a discussion of what's called mundane or worldly right view, and then there's world transcendent or super mundane right view. And mundane is very foundational. It's really important. You can't have the one without the other. You can't just leap to super mundane right view without having the mundane right view. And the mundane right view has to do with kama, merit, the wholesome and the unwholesome. In the teaching I mentioned, the Great 40, Shariputta starts out with talking about there is wrong view and right view. And he wants to clarify our views and not to get into erroneous views. And the way he describes wrong view is that there's no giving, no sacrifice, no good and bad actions that bear fruit. There's something like that. No mother, no father, no Brahmins and recluses that see with direct knowledge this world and the next world. So there's like no one to venerate, no one to, you know, no one to give respect to, no kama. This is a wrong view. And then, of course, right view is that there is the fruits of our behavior, you know, if unwholesome actions have harmful results, and wholesome actions have beneficial results. So this is for the benefit in the worldly plane, the mundane right view. And the super mundane right view has to do with transcending, transcendence. And usually one of the ways right view is described in the teachings is that it's the Four Noble Truths is right view. It's in the analysis of the path, is in the Samyutta Nikaya, it's described as the Four Noble Truths and the knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. So this is transcendent right view. But this is to be seen for ourselves, and it's a gradual path. And we learn what the Four Noble Truths are. The knowledge of suffering, knowing suffering. And we can see this for ourselves. This is something everybody experiences. But looking through the lens of the Buddha's teaching, what is that? The Buddha talks about, you know, birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering. There's a whole list of things he describes as suffering. Separation from the loved, being with those that we don't love, and not having one's wishes is suffering. And also he talks about the five khandhas, the clinging aggregates are suffering. So whenever we're experiencing suffering, sometimes I go, well, what's going on? Why am I like upset or unhappy or something like that? And then I go, oh, I'm not getting my way, you know. I'm not getting my wishes. Is suffering, so I'm suffering because of this. And this is actually most of the time, if we're suffering, is because we're not getting what we want. We things aren't the way we want them to be. So it says Ajahn Brahm says, whenever you're suffering, ask yourself, what is it that you're wanting? So this is actually the second noble truth, that the tanha, the desire, the craving. So we can say, oh, it's because I want things to be different than they are now. I want something different. And this is the mental suffering. This is the second arrow. The first arrow is that, you know, these things happen in life. There is death, there is sickness, there is aging. But if we start bemoaning and saying it shouldn't be this way, then we're just amplifying the situation. We're making it worse for ourselves. So we can see this for ourselves. This is part of how we develop our right view. We start looking at, okay, there's the Four Noble Truths, and the Buddha says that we should understand suffering. So whenever I'm suffering, why is that? What is it? You know, okay, this, it's natural that I get sick. I'm going, oh no, I shouldn't be sick. This is going to mess up my plans. You know, I can't do what I had planned to do because I'm going to be sick in bed. I've got to, you know, I fell and I broke my wrist. You know, oh my goodness, everything is like upside down. And fortunately, as a monastic, I got cared for. But, I mean, for a lot of people, something like that would be disastrous. You know, that they would be out of work. They couldn't do all the things that they need to do. So this is like the first arrow of suffering. The second arrow is like saying, oh, this shouldn't be this way. You know, people shouldn't die. The people that I love shouldn't die. And so this is just creating more suffering for ourselves when we have this attitude that, you know, things are supposed to be the way we want them to be and not how they are. There was some expression that we're taking life on life's terms, not on our terms. I think that's from the 12 steps. But it's a good expression where you think, I've just, you know, to accept things as life offers to us. So the first noble truth is to be understood, and the second is to be abandoned. Craving is to be abandoned. And then the fourth is nirodha, or cessation. And that one is to be realized. And the more we let go, the more we're able to realize the cessation of suffering. And then the last is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. And that's, of course, the Noble Eightfold Path. So this all kind of folds in on itself. So right view comes first, right view. So it's kind of like the wheel is spinning here. So we develop the Noble Eightfold Path in order to realize the ending of suffering. So it may be on a more mundane level that we're examining the teachings, but we can straighten our view by really looking at things, examining things in terms of the Buddha's teaching. One thing I came across today, I was thinking about the Four Noble Truths, and in the second teaching, the second sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya is called All the Taints. And the first, there's like taints to be abandoned in a number of different ways. I think it's five or six ways. But the first one is taints to be abandoned by seeing. So this has to do with it's dasana. So this is seeing for ourselves. This is having to do with our view of things. And the Buddha talks about yoniso manasikara and ayoniso manasikara, which is wise attention and unwise attention. And the Buddha in his teaching, he often talks about the unskillful behavior first. So he talks about the uninstructed worldling, and they give unwise attention, and then the taints either that aren't existing come into being, or if they are existing, they increase. So there's the taint of sensual desire, the taint of becoming, and the taint of ignorance. These all come up from unwise attention. And what is it? What does he give unwise attention to? And it's all these views of self. He starts pondering, he or she starts pondering, was I in the past? What was I in the past? And how was I in the past? Was I in the future? Will I be in the future? What will I be in the future? All these kind of speculative views, and also having to do with am I not? So there's this kind of confusion of the sense of self, and then it develops into some kind of view of either eternalism, you know, that the self is eternal, or the self is annihilated, annihilationism. So there's this, and the Buddha calls this a thicket of views, a contortion of views, a wilderness of views, these speculative views. And of course, this is wrong view. You don't have to guess that this is erroneous view. So this comes from unwise attention. So then the Buddha says, then the instructed disciple attends wisely. And what does he attend to? He tends to, this is suffering, this is the cause of suffering, this is the cessation of suffering, and this is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. So I was, it was really interesting that this is having to do with abandoning by seeing. We're seeing this for ourselves. We're examining for ourselves these Four Noble Truths. And that's right view. When our view is straight, when we really penetrate these Four Noble Truths, then we have we're able to have a breakthrough to the path. And in the Sabhasava Sutta, all the taints, this sutta I'm describing, this abandoning by seeing results. When the person really sees the Four Noble Truths, they enter the stream. So then they have abandoned the fetter of personality view. They abandon the fetter of adherence to rules and observances, and they abandon doubt. They're completely beyond doubt. So as opposed to this person, this confused person that has this contortion of views, and this person is established in the path and is beyond doubt. So this is, of course, the wise choice. And it comes from Yoniso Manasikara, and that's wise attention, attending wisely. So right view comes from our effort, from our diligence. In the sutta, the great 40, Sariputta talks about each path factor, and he starts out with right view, and he said the right view comes first. How does right view come first? It's by understanding what's right view and what's wrong view, and with effort, we abandon wrong view, and with effort, we enter upon and abide in right view. So this is our right effort. And mindfully, we abandon wrong view. Mindfully, we enter and abide in right view. So these three things revolve around each path factor. The path is integrated. But right view comes first. So it's important that our view is straight in accordance to the Buddha's teaching. And we're very fortunate that the Buddha has laid out the teachings in a way that we can make use of them. I really recommend looking at the suttas and really contemplating the suttas and seeing what we can, how they can be useful for us. And if we already read these teachings, it's good to read them again. I read certain suttas again and again, and I get more and more out of the reading. And also, you're very fortunate to have Pra Ajahn here, so we can read the suttas and ask questions if you have questions about the teachings. Also, I've done a little bit of, at least the Pali terminology, I think, is really important to know too, because some words, there's no good one word translation. Like the other day, we were talking about samadhi, and there's no good, really good translation. You could say it's concentration is how it was often translated, and that's not really a good translation. And stillness is some aspect of it. In the Great 40, it talked about unification of mind. Actually, this beginning of the Great 40 is talking about supports for samadhi. And the Noble Eightfold Path, the whole path, is support for samadhi, sama samadhi. So to investigate the teachings, to go deeply, I think it's good to know at least the Pali terminology. Because I think, like the word dukkha also, dukkha, it's often good just to have that, use it as a term rather than saying suffering, or because it's much more than that. Suffering, one of the dukkha, one of the meanings of dukkha is that a wheel is out of alignment. I think it originally came from the Cartwrights, and then if the wheel is out of alignment, then the cart's gonna, or the chariot or whatever it is, it's gonna wobble and it's gonna get drawn off course, and it's difficult. If you've had a car that has the wheels out of alignment, it's hard to keep it on track. So it's important to have the wheel in alignment. So this actually fits in with the Noble Eightfold Path. There's a simile for the Noble Eightfold Path of being a wheel, and the axle is right view, and the hub directly around right view is mindfulness, and then there's eight spokes, is all the each path factor, and then the rim is right effort. So right effort makes contact with the road. So this wheel, this Dhamma wheel, needs to be in proper alignment, and we need to have right view at the center, and it's going to guide us, because if you turn the axle one way or another, it's going to determine the direction of the wheel. So if the wheel is straight, it's just going to come right out, in a straight line. But if it's a little bit off, it's going to go one way or another. So it's important that our view is in alignment with the teachings. So I offer this for your reflection.